Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Today we celebrate Christ the King Sunday. Today we declare that Jesus is our King. Jesus is our Lord. Today we proclaim that through his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus has already ushered in his reign. And one day Jesus will return to us as he promised. And on that day, his kingdom will be fully realized in all of its glory. One movie that speaks to this subject really well is Disney's The Lion King. This movie from 1994 has decent animation and wonderful music. I mean, once you see this movie and listen to those songs, you're going to be singing them for weeks, I guarantee you. Two of the central characters are a father and son pair. They are the current and the future kings of the Pride Land. Mufasa is the dad, and Simba is the son. Mufasa is a good king. He cares for all the animals and the land that he is in charge of protecting. Mufasa is someone who knows what it means to reign. He takes his duties seriously and fulfills them with honor and good judgment. Mufasa understands that a king's first duty is to his subjects, so that everyone under his authority will flourish. Simba, on the other hand, is young and proud. He likes to strut around and play with his friends. He shows by his behavior that he has a lot to learn about what it means to be a good king. A good example of this is the song that he sings at the beginning of the movie called "I Just Can't Wait to Be King." Now, don't worry, I'm not going to sing it. But the song begins like this. So Simba's strutting with his friends. And he says, "I'm going to be a mighty king, so enemies beware. I'm going to be the main event like no king was before. I'm brushing up, I'm looking down, I'm working on my roar. Oh, I just can't wait to be king. No one's saying do this. No one's saying be there. No one's saying stop that. No one's saying see here. Free to run around all day. Free to do it all my way." And the song continues from there, but I think you get the general idea. Simba thinks he's hot stuff. He thinks he knows it all already, and he thinks he doesn't need help or advice from anyone. He mistakenly thinks that being king means that he can spend all of his time playing and goofing off with his friends. Simba doesn't think about the obligations he will have or the duty to serve others that will become his once he is made king. Basically, Simba thinks that life will revolve around him and he'll have no worries in the world whatsoever. Like I said, he has a lot to learn about being a good king. Well, we see a much different example of what it means to be a good king today in God's holy word. Our first reading for today is taken from the prophet Ezekiel. And this is the context in which our first reading happens. This is the background. God's people are languishing in exile. They are prisoners in Babylon, what today is modern-day Iraq. Bad kingship, bad leadership has led them into this horrible situation. You see, the kings of Israel, to put it mildly, acted badly. They had sinned against the Lord. They had not obeyed God's commands. And they had not cared for the people they were entrusted to care for. The kings had fallen down on the job, and now they were paying the price for their sins. Like Simba, the kings of Israel thought that they knew it all. They thought they could do it all on their own. Well, they were completely wrong. As a direct result of their sins, their country was invaded, destroyed, and their people taken away into exile as prisoners. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. By the time Ezekiel pens these words from God, the people have been languishing in exile for many years. The kings had failed to take care of God's people, and now God's people really need a source of hope in their lives. So God tells Ezekiel to share this good news with the people, that God himself will shepherd his people, Israel. Now, why exactly is that good news that God will be the shepherd? Because to our modern ears, shepherds aren't that impressive. Well, in the ancient Middle East, a shepherd was a royal image. It was an image of how a king is supposed to care for his subjects. And using this royal image of a shepherd, God tells Ezekiel that he will be Israel's shepherd. God himself will seek out his sheep. God will rescue his people. God will bring them back to their homeland. God will nourish his people and care for them himself. God will provide his people with hope and a future they can live into. Ezekiel quotes the Lord as saying this, "I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. I will set up over them one shepherd, and he shall feed them and be their shepherd." This new king will be a direct descendant of King David. He will care for God's people with love and mercy. He will lead God's people with justice and righteousness, and he will be the ideal king, the true Messiah. He will be the one people have been waiting for to save them. Now, as Christians, we see this promise clearly being fulfilled in the person of Jesus. Jesus is our ideal king. Jesus cares for us and for all people. He acts with justice and righteousness. He always cared for others. Just read through the Gospels and you'll see how Jesus cared for those on the margins of society. He cared for the sick and the outsider and those that society didn't care for. Jesus was always faithful in carrying out the will of his heavenly Father. And Jesus is the good king we and this world so desperately needs. And it must be said that Jesus is a king unlike any other. If you read through the pages of history and the monarchies around the world, the kings of this world have always ruled through power and money and brute force. Read through history and you'll see this is true. Whether they were born kings as part of a royal dynasty or whether they wrestled power away from others to benefit themselves, all earthly kings have kept their power at one point or another through violence and controlling others. Well, Jesus' kingdom is totally different. Jesus' reign is one based on love and mercy, not power and force. Jesus is a king that is always looking out for ways to use his power to help others, not lord his authority over others. Jesus is a king the likes of which the world has never known. As I said at the start of this sermon, the Lion King follows the adventures of the young lion Simba, the heir of his father Mufasa. I love that name. It's such a cool name, Mufasa. Well, here's the rest of the plot. So, if you haven't seen the movie, spoiler alert, here's the ending. So if you don't want to hear it, plug your ears. Simba's wicked uncle Scar plots to take Mufasa's throne by luring father and son into a stampede of wild beasts. But Simba escapes, and only Mufasa is killed. Simba eventually returns as an adult to take back his homeland from Scar with the help of his friends Timon and Pumbaa. This is not an easy journey for Simba, his friends, and those affected by Scar's thirst for power. Scar lives up to his name, believe me. Only caring about himself, Scar has let the Pride Land fall into ruin. Chaos reigns. The balance of nature has been thrown off. Things are not looking good at all. Simba starts working his way into his rightful role by first remembering who his father was. He remembers that a true king lives to serve others. Then Simba and his friends go through quite an ordeal to defeat his uncle and once again claim the throne. Once he is king, Simba remembers the example his father set for him. In order to keep the circle of life functioning as it is meant to, everybody needs to play their part, from the mighty king on down to the lowest creepy crawly. Everyone deserves respect. Every creature plays its part in the circle of life. Just like in the movie, in God's kingdom, we all matter. We all play our part. God brings us into his kingdom by joining us to Christ's death and resurrection in holy baptism. And over the years, we grow through God's love and care. We are fed with the Lord's true body and blood in holy communion, given to us from God's own table. And receiving the forgiveness of our sins, we remember who we are and whose we are. We are God's children. We are members of God's kingdom. We matter in God's eyes. We also remember who our King is, Jesus, the one who came to serve and not be served. We look to our King for the example of how we are to live our lives. And we see in Jesus someone who was born into humble circumstances and who spent his entire life serving others. Now remember, Jesus' ultimate act as our King came not in some fancy palace, but rather on the ugly cross. For it was there on the cross that Jesus reigned in glory. It is there on the cross where the love and mercy of God is made plain for all to see. And it is through the Easter tomb, the empty tomb on Easter, that we see the love of God is mightier than everything else. For in raising Jesus from the dead, God gets the last word. Not death, not sin, not evil. God raised Jesus up so that Christ our King gets the last word. Christ our King is mightier than the powers of this world, mightier than Satan, mightier than even death itself. Thanks be to God. Today we proclaim that Jesus is our King. Jesus is our Lord. That Jesus reigns over us, this world, and all of creation. And one day he will return to us and bring his kingdom fully into our midst. Until that time comes, members of the kingdom, this is what our job is. We are on to love others as Christ first loved us. Jesus first loved us so that we can go out into the world and love others. Because by loving our neighbors, others will know that we belong to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And through loving others, they will know that we belong to Jesus and that we serve Christ our King. Amen.